I want to read something to you in the message this morning. I'm going to focus on is going to deal with principles that God has placed in our life, the blueprint for the Christian family. But here's something I want you to hear before we come close to beginning this morning. And that is the fall of a nation and the fall of a family. When the family and the culture are in decline, here are some characteristics you will see. Pay close attention to them. There will be quick, easy, no-fault divorces and increasing divorce rates. We're 50-50 now, folks. 50% of the folks that get married are divorced. Our nation is divorcing itself from that which is right and the principles that made this nation strong. Next, you will see the elimination of the real meaning of the marriage ceremony and the failure to understand the permanence of marriage. Jesus says, "I love you, and the church is my bride." He meant it for eternity, and he stands strong with it throughout eternity. Next, you will see a promotion of cohabitation over marriage and a loser understanding of family as a solution to social problems. There is and are many movements that are going on within our nation. But the movements that laugh at family and laugh at family structure are the voices, my friends, that's tearing a nation apart and destroying the heart of each individual human being. Next, you will see the increased public disrespect for parents and parenthood, along with an increasing revolt of youth against parental authority. Young folks calling the law on parents who attempted to correct them. We're watching a complete breakdown of respect within the family, and one of the greatest ways for us to teach respect is parents respect your children. They are a gift from God. Next is the breakdown of most inhibitions against adultery. You do what you want to do is the breakdown in our society today. We've been given that freedom by God. We have the freedom to choose. And what God says for us and to us is, "I don't want you to choose poorly. So I'll send my son Jesus." The disrespect to parents today, as we notice when the government decides that the Plan B or morning after pill, you cannot let anyone give your child an aspirin at school, but they can buy the abortion pill over the counter without any problems whatsoever. The common acceptance of all forms of sexual perversion. Not only have we fallen low, but we seem to be leveling out on the bottom. There is a name that is placed in the heart of man, and that name is Jesus. There is a name that is placed within the whole being of who you are, and that name will last forever. You and I are getting a new name in heaven. I know most of you know that. The Lord's going to give us that name. He knows our name in his heart. And you and I are going to receive that new name, and we're going to receive that new name because of the name that you and I know. And his name is Jesus. A family cannot stand without that name guiding and directing that family. It is not just the responsibility of parents, but it is their responsibility. But it is not just the responsibility of the children, yet it is their responsibility that we keep as a family unit the name of Jesus within our heart. Jesus Christ is the Son and the Savior of our life, the Son of our God, the Savior of our life, the peace you're looking for. Folks, you'll look for peace everywhere. You'll try to put a family back together again, and I got news for you. The only name that will bond that family together is Jesus. His name will not be forgotten when the world has been come to a halt. You know, the more I think about the name of Jesus, we are told so many times to cry out to him, and he is the carpenter. But the greatest of all the buildings that Jesus has ever built is that building of love he placed in your heart. Love for one another. Love enough for your own children that you'll make sure they're protected and that you'll raise them in the nurture and the admonition of our Lord. That when they go out in society, it will not be a strange name when someone says, "Do you know Jesus?" But it will be the most exciting question that your child will ever hear, because that child then will know there's more people that know Jesus than just my family. And I've just found a friend. My friendship with Jesus, your friendship with Jesus, is the catalyst that brings all other friendships into our life. When we open our heart to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do as a parent. I've come to the end of the line. I thought I'd done right. Now I feel that I've done wrong." Folks, it all starts back again. Back to the catalyst. Back to the sinner. Back to the foot of the cross, where Almighty God let you know he had a son, his name is Jesus. My son will be with you, he loves you, and I want you to build your family around this love. Though the world will mock the love of Jesus Christ, the world has no authority over the name of Jesus Christ. Though the family is strained and personalities are pulled apart, there's one personality that'll put it together like it ought to be put back together, and that personality is Jesus, the holiest of all names, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He came to share his love, and he showed us through his demonstration of the love that he has for you and the love he has for me when he went to the cross and says, "I love you. And my love will never die." Well, when he said that to me and I accepted Jesus, that love then is going to be a part of everyone that I come in association with. As long as I do not cover up the name of Jesus, his name will be the name that the world will hear. You and I do not need to push our faith on others, but it would sure be good if we would let others see our faith, that this is what happens when you say yes to Jesus. This is what happens when Jesus is the one that puts the family together or back together. We're living in a culture that is broken. We're living in a period, and nobody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. But we've got the sad knowledge of knowing what yesterday brought. Pain. I'm probably not going to get to any scripture, Webster, whether y'all caught that or not. But I do want to quote Ronald Reagan. He once made this statement. And this statement was, "We fear that government may be powerful enough to destroy families. We know that it is not powerful enough to replace them." What is going on in our society is the results, and I lay it right at my doorstep as a preacher and at your doorstep as a Christian. I have a responsibility. My responsibility to my family and to those around within my community, to all those that I can reach, is to tell them the truth. To tell them the truth about what it takes to become a family and to be a family. Oh, it doesn't mean that everybody in the family is just hugging on each other and saying, "Oh, great job all the time." You know, ever so often somebody loses it. The power is in after they lose it. Jesus puts it back together. We're just put together with a glue called love. The blood of Christ. And Jesus says, though it looks like everything is failing, I will never fail you. Though it looks like your own nation is crumbling around you, I can rebuild that nation. Put me back in it. Put me back in the schools. I've listened to this foolishness about all I can handle in our society. Well, a school should not be the one that teaches about Christ. Well, no, I guess not. I guess it'd be better to teach about Islam, of killing instead of loving, of mutilating and maiming instead of putting together again. Folks, we seem to do pretty good when Jesus was in the school. When moral training came to this church, walking right down from behind me here, down steps that were built up there for school kids to come in for moral training, and yet the government says that's not right. No one was forced to go. It's of your own free will. A child in school today, and many of the school systems, if they're caught with their head bowed and praying instead of cursing, they're expelled. We're living in horrible times. But the times in which we live in this generation is no worse than what Jesus has seen since the beginning of the age. Well, do you really believe that the Ten Commandments ought to be in the school? Let me tell you something, Christian. The Ten Commandments was not written for the Christians. It's written for the Jews, Jewish nation. I am a firm believer in the Ten Commandments. They're a gift from God to the heart. Sure, we don't want kids in there learning something about thou shalt not kill. That'd be horrible. What if they got ready to slaughter a bunch of individuals, and then all of a sudden the word of the holy book of Almighty God comes to them and says, "Thou shalt not." Oh, how horrible that would be for the name of Jesus to be lifted again. Family, unless Jesus' name is lifted in the family, it will never reach society. And we still again remain one generation away from becoming a pagan nation, and we're almost there. God has touched the heart of individuals in our generation. And those individuals will preach the gospel and teach it. Family, parents, it's your Christian duty to make certain it is taught in the home. And if it's taught in the home, And those children, I tell you what, your child get in trouble because they mentioned Jesus in school or any of that, I'll be more than happy as your parent to take care of the attorney fees for them. Wouldn't it just be amazing that if somebody is kicked out for praying? Let me tell you something about Hardin County. Folks, you'll never find a better school system. You will never find better leaders. Most are Christian. You will never find in any of the school systems in Hardin County people going crazy because the name of Jesus was mentioned. We're different here. We really are. You're mightily blessed to have. And I've known all of the judges for years within our county, the new ones coming and all. And every one of them are Christians. Every one of them care about this nation. None of that's going to ever matter until the parents care enough about it to say, son, I love you, but no, you can't. Daughter, I love you, but no, you can't. The word no could be spelled L-O-V-E. As you go this week, I just had that on my heart, as you could tell. As you go this week, I want you to go with the assurance of this. You stand for the name of Jesus Christ. And when all hell comes against you and comes against your family and you think that you're about to sink, you stand strong for Jesus Christ. And it will be the Son of the living God standing right there beside you. And that's when what he meant by telling you, pray for your enemies because they're in trouble when God comes on board. Be the parent God has called you to be. You say no. You correct your children. You discipline your children. Don't you beat them or I'll be after you. You discipline them. And you let them know through that discipline that you love them. Because the world in which we're going to turn them loose is full of hell. And only the name of Jesus will give them any hope at all. But in that name, with that name, and by the power of that name, any mountain in the way of your family, any giant that's foolish enough to stand there is in trouble. Jesus happens to be the name on the banner of life. And it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you. We come knowing, dear Lord God, that it is through your Son that we have that peace. Oh, Father, so often many of us are embarrassed when we hear national leaders not wanting anything to do with your name. You've given us so much. And to top it off with, Father, you gave us parents, mother and a father. Touch our lives that we might be the kind of parents that you want us to be and that we will stand out and be different in the world in which we're going to throw our children. Give us the wisdom now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.